All that I need is in Jesus. All that I need is in Jesus. Because he will take care. Oh, give our youth a hand clap of praise this morning. They have indeed been singing out of their souls. Father, we come this morning just to give your name the praise, the glory, and the honor. Dear God, we ask right now that you would hide us behind the cross. Dear God, as we attempt to do your will, dear God, give us the boldness and the clarity to stand before your people, to preach your word, dear God, as you have declared it to be this morning. Right now, Father, I ask that you would, dear God, give me what I need to stand. Give me what I need to finish the task. But then, dear God, we ask that you allow your word to do what it's designed to do. The word has the power to heal, deliver. The word has the power to pick up a bowed down head, Father. Let that word do what it's designed to do. Oh, Father, then, dear God, we ask right now that you would just let your spirit move in this place. Father, words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church of God said, amen. Giving obedience to our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ, to Pastor Hodge in his absence, to Minister Anderson, members and all that make up this waiting congregation, to our healthcare ministry, we do greet you on your day. I want you to give our healthcare ministry a warm applause as they do a wonderful job educating us on the importance of fitness. Regular, if you would stand with me and turn to Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans, the 12th chapter. We will look at verse 1 and verse 2. When you have it, kindly say amen. Amen. Romans, the 12th chapter, the first verse reads, I beseech you, brethren, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. May God bless the reader, the hearer and doer of his word. Just for a moment of your time, we'd like to speak from the subject, transformed, a need to change. Transformed, a need to change. My brothers and sisters, the very day that we were born into this world, change became a way of our lives. I know that to be true because when I look at Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, in verse 1, the first part of that scripture reads, to everything there is a season. That helps me to understand that nothing in life is meant to stay the same. Change is a way of life. Whether you want to or not, we all have to go through changes, especially in this natural body. I know there are times when we do our exercises and we do all the things we can do to keep ourselves fit and in shape. And some of us even have the hope that I am now at the age of 50 and I still want the waist size I had when I was 25. Change. A change has occurred. We dye our hair trying to hide strings of white that eventually will make itself out and take over the dye, trying to hide our age. But change, my brothers and sisters, will occur. Change in life is necessary for any of us if we are ever going to really be used for our full potential. When I look simply at nature itself and the changes that occur in nature, how a simple tadpole can be born a small minnow as a tadpole, and over transformation, this tadpole eventually becomes a frog, transformed into something else. Change is going to happen, and it's necessary for that process, for a frog to go from a tadpole to a frog so that frog can live out its full potential. I know sometimes in life it's difficult for change. Some folk would rather stay in the state that they're in. I'm reminded of what the Apostle Paul wrote to those at the church in Corinth. Paul says, when I was a child, he said, I spoke as a child. He said, I thought as a child. He said, I act as a child. But then he said, but when I became a man, that is, when I changed, he said, I put all childish things away. Can I tell you, some of us have to put childish things away. We can't stay in the state of childish behaviors. We have to be able to conduct ourselves and act as we are, which are adults, and not just adults, but we are full-fledged, born-again believers. If a believer is ever going to live out his potential, then the believer must be able to faithfully look at ourselves and determine that as life goes on, each and every day we strive to make a change. Paul, in our text this morning, he writes to those believers, which is us. And Paul is writing, he's saying, I beseech you, brethren. You see, Paul uses this letter of exhortation to put out an urgent plea to the believers. Paul has covered, he's established a chapter 12's foundation between chapters 1 through 11. For Paul has talked about, therefore, there is no condemnation and to those who are in Christ Jesus. Paul has addressed justification. Paul has addressed sanctification. And now Paul is actually saying he needs Christians to be dedicated. Dedicated to the God, that very God that created them. Before anyone can change, first of all, you must want to change. No one can make you change. But as I read through the text, my brothers and sisters, and if you would fully read chapter 12, there are some words in this text that Paul uses to help us understand the direction in which we need to go if we are going to change. Paul says, I beseech I beseech you, therefore, brother. And he says, I urge you, I plead with you, I call to your attention. He says, by the mercies of God. I noticed in the text he didn't say mercy, but he says the mercies of God. Any believer, when they look at that word mercy, mercy by itself is enough to push you to want to change. You see, I can't speak for anybody. I know what mercy has done for me. So it becomes a personal thing. You see, mercy, when I go to bed at night and I wake up in the morning and I got the right frame of my mind and I got the mobility of my limbs, it makes me want to change because I realized that was mercy. And then I happen to look over at my wife, and she gets up out of bed, and she has all of her limbs, and she has her right mind, and my daughter gets up, and she goes about her day. It reminds me of mercy. But then I get real happy because all through the day when the devil is riding our back and seen danger and unseen danger is at every hand, mercy still is protecting us. When you think about the mercies of God, when you think about how mercy protects you, when you think about how mercy holds you, when you think about when you want to give up and you just has had enough and mercy still stands by, ready to do what mercy does, that's enough to make the believer want to change. Paul says, I beseech you by the mercies of God, the mercies that kept him, the mercies. He wanted to remind the believers that you have a reason to want to really change and do the will of God, because God has been a merciful God. Paul knew a little bit about mercy because Paul knew what he had been through. Paul knew where he had came from. Paul knew he was no good. And Paul knew that he persecuted the believers. But Paul knew that when he walked down that road of Damascus and Paul ran into mercy, Paul speaks about something that Paul has an experience with. Each and every one of us have experienced our share of mercy. But you gotta want to change, my brothers and sisters, by the mercies. Paul said, I plead with you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. That word interests me, sacrifice. You see, because if we are really going to change, not only must we want to change, but God needs the world to see what a real believer looks like and acts like. It's in the text, he said, present your bodies a living sacrifice. You see, we can't come in the church and just look holy and don't act holy. I can't come into church and wave up holy hands and get in front of the church and cuss out my brother or sister. And I'm acting holy. You see, every member of my body must be holy. My hands can't be holy if my eyes are not holy. My hands and eyes can't be holy if my fingers and my toes and my tongue is not holy. Every member of my body must be holy. Because if we live our lives in holiness, if we strive to live holy, then those outside who are not of the church, who are not in the church, can really look at a believer who has changed their life and can say, that's the way I want to be. I want to look like that and I want to act like that. I know right now I don't look like that. I'm kind of messed up. But that believer, that person that has changed their life has given me a reason to believe and change. Paul says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. He says, and the reason you want to do it, he said, it is an acceptable thing to think about, he says. It's acceptable unto God. He says, and it, not only that, he said, it is your reasonable service. Paul is saying it's rational for you to want to change, because you can't stay in the state you were in when you came to God. It's an ongoing work. It's a work each and every day. He said it's a rational, reasonable thing to do, to want to make a change so you can be that example that God needs in this dark world. You can be that light that shines down on every evil thing in this dark world. You can be that light to show somebody that I know a God who can change your life just like he changed mine. He says he needs you to look like what you profess to be, and that is a born again believer. But throughout this text really became interesting, because in verse 2 he says, and be not conformed to this world. Paul, my brothers and sisters, the word conforms means to be shaped. It literally means to be molded. You and I, in other words, we cannot allow the world to shape us and mold us into what the world wants the believer to be. He's saying, if we do that, then we have not really changed. He said, you can't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transform meaning change from something, from one thing to something else. And the only way that we can be transformed by our mind being renewed is your mind has to stay within the Word of God. You have to study the Word of God for yourself. You have to read the Word of God for yourself. You have to get in the Word of God for yourself. And when you get in the Word of God, you have to hide the Word of God inside of your body that you might not sin against God. Paul makes a shift. He goes from dealing with the body to dealing with the mind. You see, Paul makes a statement that we all should understand. The majority of our problems in life start with our mind. If we can conquer the mind, then the body will automatically follow. The body will follow what the mind says to do. If we can take our mind and put our mind on the right thing, then the body will follow. I'm reminded of what Paul wrote to the church at Philippi. I see why Paul uses this letter to let them know about the things that they should think about, because they were having trouble understanding what their right thoughts should be. Go with me to Philippians, the 4th chapter, and verse number 8. There, when you get there, you find a reason why Paul is really focusing now from the body to the mind, because it's all in the mind. Paul says, he says in verse 8, he says, finally, brethren, he says, whatsoever things are true, he said, whatsoever things are honest, he says, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things, he says, are pure, he says, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. Paul says, if there be any virtue, that means if there be any benefit, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he says, think on these things. And if we can think on these things, then our minds can stay in a renewed state that our minds used to be in. Our minds can then stay sharp and be used as vessels for God to deliver God's message to a dying, sinful world. Paul says you got to work on your mind. And because you have to work on your mind, when you work on your mind, your body will automatically do what the body's going to do, because the mind really has control over everything else. But your mind has to be right. If your mind is not right, you can't do what's right. If your mind is not right, God can't use you in a manner that God has designed for you to be used. There is a reason for every born-again believer to be used in the body of Christ. But your minds have to be right so God can feed you the things he needs to feed you, so you can go out and do the work of the Lord. Said, by the renewing of your mind. He said that you prove. That word prove means that you actually live it out. You live out the will of God. It is the will of God that every believer be used for righteous behavior. It's the will of God that every believer be used in a manner that can save that which was lost. But I gotta make a change. I can't stay in the same state that I'm in. You see, because when the world comes and the world sees you, now when I'm talking about the world, I mean those old homies and old home girls that you used to hang with, they may come up and say, well, look, I know that girl. I know that brother right there. You see, we used to open up and close the club. Well, you gotta be able to say, newsflash, I know I look like that person on the outside. But God has made a change in my life. You see, I've changed. I've been rearranged. My thoughts are not the same. I don't act the same. I can't run where you run. I got to go and have a Holy Ghost party at the church. I can't have a party on Diamond Road in New Orleans East. I got to have a party at the church. I know I'm not what I need to be, but I thank God I'm not what I used to be. You see, there are times when I might slip and fall. So all I'm asking a believer to do is to please be patient with me. For God is not through with me yet. You see, when God gets through with me, I shall come forth as pure gold. I know I used to be toe up from the flow up. I know I was a terrible wreck. I know I was a drug user. I know I was a drug dealer. I know I was a street runner. I know I ran with every woman, with every man. But God has changed me. My life is no longer the same, because I came to Jesus as I was. I was weary, I was worn, and I was sad, but I found in him a sweet old resting place, and he has made me glad, because I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shores, seeking very deep within. I was seeking to rise no more. But the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry, and from the waters, good God Almighty, from the waters, he lifted me, and now, safe am I. It was love couldn't do it. Daddy couldn't do it. It was love that lifted me when nothing else could help. Love lifted me. Thank God for love. Thank you for love, because love went to a hill called Calvary. Love was hung high. Love was pierced in his side. Love died. He died on the cross for you and I. But then love went in a grave, and 3 days later, love got up with all power in his hand. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I've been changed. I'm not the same. Ain't he all right this morning? Ain't he all right this morning? I don't know what kind of state of mind you used to be in, but if you're ready to make a change, you ought to just go down in prayer and praise God for the change he's already done in your life. He just needs you to act on it. Transform. A need for a change. Regular. The world has a lot of issues. And God needs real believers who are willing to stand up. Because just like he had to come and get you, he wants to go and get them. But he needs just a few. Real believers who don't mind testifying about the goodness of Jesus, who don't mind telling somebody, I was there where you are, and God came and got me. I'm no better than you. And just like he came and got me, he can come and get you. All you got to do is believe that Jesus died and he rose on the third day, and your life will be changed forevermore. And then make sure you keep your mind right. Keep your mind right. A lot of stuff out here can mess up your mind. Keep your mind stayed on Jesus. And I guarantee that everything will be all right. I didn't say you won't have some trouble in your life. But even a trouble in your life, it'll be all right. Everything will be all right when you trust in him forevermore. Give God a hand. Clap of praise this morning. Because he is indeed worthy to be praised. The song when they sing, it touched my heart so much when they say, worthy is the lamb, that innocent lamb that came down and did something for all of us that no other man could do. He came down and he justified us. He pardoned us of every wrong sin we were given when we came into this world. He justified you and I. To God be the glory for all the things he's done. The doors of the church is open. There may be one this morning who just tired of being sick and tired. If you fall in that category, we offer you Jesus. If you are one that go to bed at night and wake up with trouble on your heart because you are wondering who can help you, we offer you Jesus. If you're just ready to make a change, I'm tired of being the way I am. I'm tired of my mind being messed up. I'm tired of running the streets. I'm tired of trying to find happiness in places that I can't find happiness. We offer you Jesus this morning. We offer you the one that can clean you up. We offer you the one that can pick you up. We offer you the one who stands at the door with his arms wide open. We offer you the one who, as the prodigal son father stood there and waited for his son, we offer you that kind of God who is standing right there at the gate. He says,